Forces. I was talking to the funeral director just this past week, and he said there's something going on. We're seeing something like we've never seen before down here. There's been suicides more rampant than ever before. That we've had three in this community just in the last several months. One a fireman, another a soldier, and we've had murders of little children. I've been with four different ministers from four different cities in the last week, and we've sat down and some of us have discussed this demonic presence that seems to be prevailing in our communities, whether it's in Indiana or Tennessee, it doesn't matter, or Kentucky. There's this presence of demonic spirits that are trying to destroy and trying to consume. And I'm thankful that there's a church of the true living God that's up rising up against those forces. I mean, that's the will of God for us. If you're looking for God's will as a church of the true and living God, we need to rise up against all principalities and powers and rulers in the dark places. We need to stand with the blood of Jesus Christ and the word of our testimony against the evil forces. And the Bible says in the book of Revelation that we will overcome. They overcame him. Amen. There's a power and presence of God among God's people, and you may be oblivious to these demonic forces that are in our community right now. I mean, we're seeing some things that are taking place that we've never seen before. There's people that are dying that are not that are young. There's tragedy on every hand. I was in Indiana this past week, and in the church where my son-in-law pastors, there were four young people that were seniors in high school in that small community in Franklin, Indiana, and they were a little girl fell in there near the dam, and her classmates, four boys, jumped in after her, and one they couldn't find, they were looking for when I left Indiana, and two are in critical condition, not getting enough air to their brain, not enough oxygen to their brain, and they may be brain dead, I don't know, but listen, these things are hitting close to home. Listen, young person, you have no promise of tomorrow. Now, the devil will tell you to boast yourself of tomorrow, but I'm telling you, the Bible says you don't know what a day may bring. You need to be ready. And when the evil forces are ramping up against our young people, against the children, against the senior citizens, against our community, the devil is getting in the minds and hearts of people and telling them that there is no hope. But praise God, there's hope in Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, if you're not sensing the demonic forces that seem to be rearing up their evil head at this very moment in the last several months, there's been this presence of demonic forces that are lurking to consume us and destroy us and hurl people off into the abyss of hell. But praise God, the church isn't going to fall prey to those things. We're going to stand and preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believes, from the Jew first and also the Greek. Listen, that Satan cannot overthrow the power of God. His power is greater, amen? If you've read the back of the book, we win, praise God. He's going to ultimately be hurled alive, the Bible says, into the abyss. He's going to take the false prophet and the dragon and the old devil, the serpent, and hurl him into the abyss. But listen, folks, he's not done that yet. And there are seasons or times where he is released. Yes, he's chained for a season, but then he is released upon the earth. And we need to be aware of these things when they transpire among us. When there seems to be evil forces that have been released from the abyss and are wreaking havoc upon our society, we need to rise up as a church of the true and living God, and we need to stand up in full force and in power of the Holy Spirit with a sword of the Spirit and say, Satan, be gone. Our young people, listen, the devil's after them. My friend, the devil wants your mind, he wants your soul, and he wants your body. And we need to be fighting the good fight of faith. Amen. We need to be standing in the gap and taken up the hedge. We need to rise up as a church. A church that has faith and has power and favor with God and favor with man. Not blind. Listen, Satan blinds the minds of folks. There are a lot of people's minds are blinded to what's going on in our communities. Blinded to the fact of the desperation of the times. We need to rise up. We need to be able to see the signs of the times. We need to awaken. It's high time that we awake out of our sleep because we're closer now to the end than when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to be working and laboring while it's day because night comes when no man can work. Church, listen to me. We don't have to have an altar prayer. Maybe God will open your eyes. I pray that the scales will fall from your eyes, that you'll be able to see what's taking place in the in our world. Not just in our community. It's everywhere. I sat down with my son-in-law. He said, there's something strange going on. We're having deaths and suicides and children dying and children being murdered. And I said, we had the same thing. The undertaker just up the road had to deal with a little child that was murdered by one of his own parents. Listen, folks, we've got all kinds of craziness going on in the world. And we need to be a church that rises up and be an index finger and point to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. We need to rise up as a church that Jesus intended us to be and say, there, my friend, is the victory. I don't care what you're going through. There's the power of His grace that will get you through it. I don't care what you've done, where sin abounds. Grace does much more abound. I don't care what kind of captivity you've fallen into or what kind of chains of sin you're in. Jesus, the Son of God, can set you free. And if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. He set us free, didn't He? Amen. Whatever dark forces lurk in your soul and your mind and your heart, there's the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross of Calvary to set us free, not only from the condemnation of sin, but from the shackles of sin. Amen. Yeah. And I stand today with a full dress of armor that has never failed me. My head has the blessed gospel of salvation in it. I have the salvation of Jesus Christ upon my heart and upon my life. I have the blood of Jesus, a believing application of the blood of Jesus. And I have a helmet of salvation. I've got a breastplate of righteousness. I've got feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace wrapped around me. Girding my loins is truth, the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I go forth with a sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And there's nothing that can overthrow the Word of God. The Word of God, it'll live and abide forever. Listen, heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus said, but my Word will never pass away. He is the living Word. I don't know how you feel about it, but what I've discovered in my life, when I want to do His will and know His will, the Holy Spirit opens my eyes to the living Word. The Word becomes alive by the power of the Holy Ghost. Whether it's preached or read or taught, it comes alive in my heart. It is the living Word of God. We're born again by the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Yes, I didn't mean to preach. But listen, folks, we need to wake up. We need to wake up. There are things that are after our children and our grandchildren, things after our young people, things after our old people. We need to wake up. Danger. I'm to warn you of the danger. The Bible says, if the watchman warneth not, then the blood is upon his hands. But if he sounds the alarm, if he stands and he sounds the alarm, and that's what I am, just an old watchman, I see danger coming. And listen, if we're not prepared, if we're not ready, if we're not in the Spirit, I'll tell you what the will of God is for your life, and that's not that you not be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but you be filled with the Spirit. It is the will of God. I read these things. I'm going to have to preach a little bit. I read every one of these specific statements of the will of God for our lives. Sunday night before conference. Where it specifically says, It's God's will that you be filled with the Spirit of God. It is the will of God that you be sanctified, that you set yourself apart for God's usefulness, for His righteousness, and for His holiness. It is the will of God that you suffer some things standing up for the truth. The Bible teaches us we need to hunker down and we need to stand up for Jesus Christ. And the Bible says if you suffer for a Christian, as a Christian, then it is the will of God for your life. The Bible says that it is the will of God that we give thanks always. I read all those passages of Scripture. I mean, if you're trying to find the will of God, it's the will of God that you give thanks always for everything. This is the will of God that you give thanks for everything in your life. It's the will of God that you suffer when you stand up for truth. It's the will of God that you be sanctified. It's the will of God you be full of the Spirit of God. And also we read in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, it is not God is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is the will of God that you be saved. You want to find the will of God for your life? Repent of your sins. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Experience the new birth. God has commanded all men. Acts chapter 17, when Paul was preaching in Athens, Greece, he stood there on Mars Hill and he said, God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. You know what? That's inscribed upon Mars Hill in stone. The very sermon of the Apostle Paul is setting 45 degrees from the Acropolis out there where all those, that museum of idols who are losing, whose hands and arms are falling off. But anyway, just catty-corner from that, he's saying those gods are not real. There is a true and living God. You worship an unknown God. That God I declare unto you, He has commanded that you repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in that 17th chapter, he's alive. Resurrected. Resurrected from the dead. He's alive. Jesus Christ is alive. He's alive. Alive from the dead. I believe it's the will of God that you repent and trust in Jesus Christ to the saving of your soul. I believe it's the will of God that once you get saved and filled with His Spirit, that you walk with Him, that you follow Him in scriptural baptism. I believe it's the will of God that you try to serve Him and labor for Him and live for Him. That's the will of God for your life. I preached four sermons from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, ending with the what God intends for us to do, which is to showcase His will, that it's good and acceptable and perfect, to establish His will. And then I told you that, you know, you just go through the rest of that book, and there's just specific, clear, concisive statements of His will for our life. I went down through there, and I didn't even go into chapter 16, came up with 101 statements of God's will for my life. In four chapters, 101. Listen, folks, we know the will of God. God's people should know what God's will is. Hello? It's not a maze for us. It's not a mystical thing for us. God's will is that we get saved, that we sanctify ourselves, that we get filled with the Spirit, that we suffer for Him, that we give thanks unto Him always and live for Him. Offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. We've got a reason to serve because all those mercies that we read about in the first 11 chapters. His will, 101. 101 statements. Well, I don't have time to go through 101 statements this morning. But I know this, that when God's people sense a rise in demonic forces in their community or in the world, there's one thing the book of Revelation declares clearly. The people of God need to stand up and be heard. I mean, stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand up for the blood of Jesus that was shed on Golgotha's hill. Stand up with the word of God and the word of their testimony. Praise God, we have that today. Listen, folks, we're going to get on the altar. We're going to have an altar prayer. I want to say to those who are visiting with us, we're glad you're here. And if you had never been saved by the grace of God, it's high time you get right with Him. Let me share something with you. Hurriedly. Okay. There are folks that are trying to tell you that it's God's will for you to go to heaven apart from His gospel. That doesn't happen. I did some studying, and you know, studying the will of God is a deep subject. There's a, you know, I think people have got this thing all messed up. There's the will of God that cannot be altered. There is the sovereign will of God. There are the decrees of God that will not fail and cannot change. And then there's His revealed will that He expects us to conform to and to do. And it's given to us in His holy word. His revealed will. I mean, His will is not always done. I mean, you just go through the Ten Commandments. And we have murder and we have thievery. We have all kinds of people that are breaking the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are His will for humanity. Understanding our sinfulness is our departure from His will for our lives. A departure from His will in our lives. That's sin. You know, you can obviously feel and sense when you're outside of His will, when you're lost and undone. I think you can feel and sense when you're out of His will once you're saved. Amen. Yeah, sure can. But people are saying today, you know, and this confuses me. You know, people are going around saying, well, you know, you went through some kind of hideous experience as a child. Let's say you were abused as a child. And they'll say, well, that was the will of God for your life. No, it's not. God's will says that we ought to care for our children and love our children. That's the revealed will of God. Amen. And I don't believe His, you know, when you have His sovereign will in conflict with His revealed will, you've got a problem. I'm not saying that God can't ultimately work out some good will from your life, from those bad circumstances. He can take evil and work good. Satan is trying to frustrate the will of God, but listen, Satan is not going to win. He's a loser. He's a defeated foe. Amen. Jesus has already given us victory on Golgotha's hill. He rose on the third day. He's alive, and He's alive forevermore. He's by our side, and He empowers the church. If you're here today and you have never been saved by the grace of God, or maybe you don't even have a desire to know His will and to do His will, people, that's an indication that there's a problem with your conversion. There's a problem with your salvation. There's a problem with your regeneration. If something didn't come in you that wasn't there before, if the Spirit of God did not come into you when you repented of your sins and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, that will take you and move you toward God's will, you need to be saved. Amen. The Bible says that when we get saved, we become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Amen? We develop a desire to please God. To walk worthy of all pleasing unto the Lord. I mean, that desire comes into our heart. But listen, if you can just go your own way and do your own will and frustrate the will of God and it not bother you, it not convict you, then you've probably not been underneath the crimson flow. You've not been underneath the blood of Jesus Christ, and you need to be saved. I don't care how many cards you signed at how many different churches, how many aisles you walked. I don't care how many pledges of allegiance you've made to Jesus or how many times you've joined the church and been baptized. If the blood of Jesus has not been applied to your heart, you're lost and in your sins. Amen. Amen. I believe it's the will of God that you know the truth. That truth might set you free. There are a lot of things trying to frustrate the will of God for your life. But the church and this preacher is not one of them. I want your life conformed to His will. You may have come here, you may be a first time visitor. That's all right. All of us had our first time here. Yeah. Whether you're young or old, there's a first time for everything. You might say, well, I've been to church before. Nobody's really got next to me like that before. Well, there's a first time for that too. You might say, well, you know, I've been to church before, but there's something going on deep down in my soul. There's a stirring going on deep down in my inner being that I've never sensed before, I've never felt before. Well, there's a first time for that too. Suddenly, there's something that's going on when He gives the invitation. There's this drawing. There's this moving in my heart. There's something inside of me that's stirring, and I need to do something. I need to do something. And the preacher's up there, and he's pointing to Jesus and saying, Jesus took your sins away on the cross of Calvary. That preacher up there is telling me that I've got to turn from my sins. I've got to turn from my will. I've got to trust. I've got to yield. I've got to surrender. I've got to seek the Lord. I've got to find Him. I've got to feel after Him that I might know Him. And my friend, you can leave this church house today changed by the power of God. Changed. I'll just be honest with you. There are some folks that claim to be Christians. If that's the Christian change, I don't want to have anything to do with their change.
Amen.
I'll just be honest with you. They just live unto themselves, do whatever they want to do. Oh, listen, folks, if you think going to church and living a moral life is Christianity, you've obviously not read the Bible. You've not read the Bible. That's not Christianity. We're here to do the will of the Father. Jesus said, listen to this. Listen to this very carefully. Matthew chapter 7. I don't remember what verse it is. Read the whole chapter. Matthew chapter 7. Jesus said, in that day many shall say, Lord, Lord. He said this in the previous verse. He said, not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, will get to go to heaven. Not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, gets to go into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of the Father. Do you get that? You guys do realize the difference between false religion and true religion is that true religion does the will of the Father.
Amen.
That's the difference right there. That's where your fish are cut bait. Right there. Doing the will of the Father. Well, a lot of Christians, I'll just be honest with you, their lack of interest in doing God's will is an indication. They're just saying, Lord, Lord. Just saying, Lord, Lord. And not experiencing the change that comes from the new birth. You need a change that comes from on high. Amen? You must be born from above. And we've got churches that are filled with people who haven't been saved. And it's a shame. It's a disgrace. It's a problem. It's a serious problem. And when these spiritual evils begin to lurk all around in our community, they don't even sense them. They have no clue what's going on because they're not hooked up with God. They're not even part of the family of God. They're not children of God. They're not the true church of Zion. God's people sense these spiritual matters taking place and respond to them in the appropriate way. I tell you what, I'm worried about these demonic forces. You've got all. You read the book of Revelation. When they come out, then things just start popping, happening. You know, I mean, just unusual, bizarre things begin to happen as they come out of the abyss. And I'm telling you, something's escaped from the abyss. Right? Within the spiritual realm, you might say, preacher, you're starting to scare me. Well, I hope you get scared. It's about time somebody tell you that we're engaged in a spiritual warfare.
Amen.
We fight against principalities and powers and rulers in the dark places.
Amen.
If you've not fought with any lately, maybe you're not on the right team. Okay? not part of the right group if you've not fought against some of these principalities and powers and rulers in the dark places. We've been studying from the book of Isaiah, and there's something that happens in connection with departure from God. People become idiots. I mean, I'm just going to... bottom line, God says, if you move your heart from me, you'll turn your mind over to a reprobate. End up having a reprobate mind. And that kind of reprobation takes place in the minds of people who turn their heart from God. And I tell you, the craziness going on in our country, people doing, it's crazy. People have lost their blooming mind. But listen, it didn't start with a mind, it started with a heart. When the heart turns from God, the mind goes into the gutter. Every single time. We've got, maybe you're not worried. I'm worried about these forces. Young people, listen to me. There's only one group that survives this battle. Man, that makes me so happy. There is only one group that survives Armageddon, and it's the church of the true living God. One group survives. And you know, really, in the end, they don't have to do any fighting. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords shows up on his white stallion and just takes care of the battle for them. They just get on the horse and ride behind him. Oh, man. I'm on the winning team. Amen. Listen. The Bible says all those that follow the false prophet, all those that give in to his devices, all of those that are deceived by him. Listen, we're living in perilous times. There are seducing spirits and doctrines of devils that we're dealing with. We need to realize that the church of the true living God is the only escape. It's the only escape. The gospel of Jesus is the only escape. Amen. But I'll tell you, I can take you through the book of Revelation. I can show you. In the end, we're going to win the war. The battle is raging. We're in the battle right now, people. Hello? We're battling now. We are soldiers for the cross. Amen? Some of us, you know, we realize that how important it is to be fighting this spiritual battle. Do you realize how important it is? And listen, young people. Don't let the world lure you into thinking that there's something better than what Jesus has to offer. There's not. Amen. It's a lie. The ideologies and the philosophies of the world, they're wrong. It's a lie. People are believing a lie. You cannot escape. You cannot escape holding on to the world. You've got to forsake this world and all of its riches, and you've got to turn to Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, folks, the church needs to rise up. You realize that when the power of God is with us, one can chase 1,000? Listen, the church of the true living God, after the departure of Jesus, when he ascended upon high and he led captivity captive, and he's our captain of our salvation, he's already in the winner's circle. Do you realize that when the early church went out into the world, they weren't afraid of anything? They were emboldened by opposition. They were emboldened by the demonic forces. They didn't flinch, and they had no fear but the fear of God. No matter what efforts were made to destroy them, it just emboldened them. Now that's what happens in the life of a true righteous man. When he's attacked, he just gets emboldened. And it just emboldened them. And it says, with great boldness went they forth to preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And listen, the church needs to rise up with great boldness, because the Lord's coming. He's coming soon. Amen? He's coming in power and great glory. And he's going to execute judgment on all those who know not God who have not obeyed the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. He's going to execute judgment on all the sinners and all their ungodly deeds and ungodly speeches and ungodly actions that they have committed against Him. He's going to hold them in judgment. The same gospel that Enoch preached, how the seventh from Adam, is still being preached today. Behold, the Lord's coming. And you need to be ready. You be ready. Go ahead and stand on your feet. What a blessing it is. Oh, man. When you have the load of sin upon you and condemnation, you know, every person who is a Christian has been translated out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Amen? We've been translated from the power of darkness into the kingdom of His marvelous light. It says it over and over again. It says it in Colossians. It says it in Peter. I mean, it just says it over and over again. A change from being a child of the devil to becoming a child of God. Amen? Y'all know about that? If the darknesses of the demons of hell are lurking to hold your soul back from the cross, fight against it. Church, let's pray. Pray down the power. Amen? Pray down the victory. Listen, I know I've been right where you're at. I remember that preacher getting up and him preaching and giving an invitation. And he, you know, there's hundreds of thousands of invitations in the Bible, you know, where God says, I'm God and there is no other. Come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I mean, there's even Paul in that 17th chapter of Acts. He said, seek the Lord while he may be. He said, seek the Lord that you might happily feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of you. And there's the affirmation that says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Turn to God and he will abundantly pardon. Over and over again, we have these invitations to come to God, come to Jesus. And I remember when they were given, when I was lost and in sin, it seemed like they would give those invitations for me to step out of the aisle and go to the altar and pray and call upon the Lord. You can't be saved unless you call on the Lord. And all the forces of hell seemed to get a hold of me and try to keep me back. Y'all remember that? Listen, folks, we are fighting against principalities, powers, and rulers of the dark places of this world. And they're in our church services. Amen. Man, they'll lay hold of a sinner. They will restrain him or her and try to hold them back from the cross. Listen, there's never been times like these. Never been times like these. The church needs to be praying. We need to be walking with the Lord and ready, standing at attention. As we sing, is there somebody here lost? You need to move to the altar. Would you do that right now? Anybody here that needs Jesus? I want to ask the church to start gathering the altar. I want us to begin to pray. I was in a service Friday night where a young girl got saved. A teenage girl got saved. And Tiffany went to her. She said, I knew God was wanting me to go to her and say something to her. That was that same community that had that tragedy, those classmates that had died in that raging water. One trying to save the other and lost their own life. She said, I went to her and I just said these simple words. I'm going to the altar. Do you want to go with me? Maybe that's all you need to say to somebody else. I'm going to the altar. Do you want to go with me as we sing?